Amen. When someone has been forgiven, they're grateful. Carol's one of those, if you've never met Miss Carol, she is full of joy. When you get around her, it's contagious. You just want to hug her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just one of those people that you're like, man, she is awesome, you know? And so it's good to be around people that are filled with joy and that understand what it means to be forgiven. It's powerful. And so today we step into the second step, if you would, or second week of our series TGIF. And we're talking about what it means to be forgiven. Thank God I'm forgiven. We've been forgiven of many things. But oftentimes we choose not to forgive those who have wounded us or hurt us in some way. And so today I want us to dig a little bit deeper and kind of step into some things. We looked at this definition last week. If you've got your outline, you can kind of follow along. It says forgiveness is the intentional and voluntary process by which a victim undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding an offense. Let's go of negative emotions such as vengefulness with increased ability to wish the offender well. So forgiveness is something very powerful, and there's change involved there. And if we look at it again, it says it's intentional and voluntary process. In other words, it's intentional choosing to go that way. Planning, thinking through it, being willing to then voluntarily give something up. Voluntarily choosing a process, not even knowing what you'll get in return. Oftentimes we talk about leading a church. You're leading a church of volunteers. You can't hold pay over somebody's head if they're volunteers. The thing is they believe in what they're doing. And so for someone who chooses to forgive, they believe it's the right step. They're moving in the right direction. By which a victim undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding an offense. In other words, you've been offended in some way. Something has happened. Something has transpired that has caused this offense, that has caused a wound, that has caused you to struggle. And so that wound is there, and it's something you have to choose, again, voluntarily to let go of. So you let go of negative emotions such as vengefulness. The Bible says it very clearly. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. In other words, it's God's job to handle the details on things if we will just let things go. So letting go of negative emotions, in other words, surrendering those, if you would, with an increased ability to wish the offender well, being willing to let that person move on, being willing to not hold a grudge or a anger or bitterness or rage or whatever inside of us towards that person, but to let it go and begin to experience true forgiveness. There's often times that things happen and there's tragedies that happen. We've talked about this last week, and we're going to kind of retouch on some things from last week. And like I said last week, it's not my intention is not to open up wounds, but my prayer is that God will begin healing. And the thing I want you to understand is there's nobody in this room that is immune to these wounds. Everybody in here has been wounded at some point or will be. We live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. And so we're going to have to deal with these wounds. And we can try to ignore them. We can try to sweep them under the rug. We can try to act like they didn't happen. We can just say, well, you know, I'm bigger than that. I'm tougher than that. I can handle it. But really, if we look at the heart has been wounded. And what happens sometimes is we've got these unwounded areas in our life, these unhealed wounds in our hearts. And so these unhealed wounds, they kind of explode every once in a while when someone kind of steps on that area, touches that area, they kind of prod you in that area. And sometimes they're not even meaning to do that. It's just you're still sensitive in that area. And so that wound that happened, maybe, like I said, maybe back in childhood, maybe, you know, sometime in your dating years, maybe something along those lines, maybe in your marriage. Whatever that wound might be, every once in a while something will happen to set it off. And if it happened a long time ago and you never can seem to get over it, here's the thing, it'll affect every relationship from that point forward. And what happens is because we're wounded, we tend to overreact. We tend to explode on things. And things that seem like, you know, it's not that big of a deal to someone else, man, you know, you just blow up and you're like, dude, it's not that big of a deal. I want you to watch a video clip from a movie called The Rabbit Hole. And I want you to just to see two people that are hurting and how they respond.
No, I didn't. No. I just, you were right there. I just got the number.
Yeah, and you kept pressing the screen?
Because I couldn't figure out how to use your phone.
I checked already. It's gone.
We have 100 videos of him.
That's not the point, Becca.
Then you should have put it on your computer.
Right, it was my fault.
I didn't say that.
I said it. Fuck!
Jesus, Howie, I didn't do it on purpose.
Are you sure?
What does that mean? What, you think I deliberately deleted his video?
I don't know.
You don't know?
So you're trying to get rid of him. I'm sorry, but that's how it feels. Every day, it's something new.
Really?
Yeah, it's like you're trying to get rid of any evidence he was ever here. What, you took the paintings off the fridge?
To save them. To save them. They are in a box downstairs.
Okay, his clothes?
We don't need all that stuff, Howie. We just
don't. You're wanting to sell the house. You're sending Taz to your mother.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. The dog got underfoot.
Right, and he was a reminder.
Yes, he is a reminder.
And since you never wanted the dog.
For God's sake.
Oh, well, if I hadn't bought the dog, Danny would still be alive.
If I hadn't have run back in to get the phone, if I had latched that gate...
I left the gate unlatched!
Come on, I'm not playing this game again, Howie. I'm not. It's no one's fault, and I'm not...
Not even the dogs. Dogs chase squirrels. Boys chase dogs.
I know that.
He loved that dog, and you got rid of it.
Just like I'm getting rid of the video, huh?
It's not about the video, Becky. It's not about the video. It's not just the video. It's about Taz and the paintings and his clothes and everything. There's no pictures of him around. There's no fingerprints. There's nothing. You have to stop erasing him. You have to stop it.
Do you really think that I don't see him every second of every day? The video was an accident, Howie. And believe me, I will beat myself up about it forever, I'm sure. Just like everything else I could have prevented.
That's not what I want, Becca.
No, because it feels like it is. It feels like maybe I don't feel badly enough for you. Maybe I'm not feeling enough. What do you want from me?
Something's got to change. Because this... I can't do this like this anymore. It's too hard. It's too hard.
Painful to watch that. But that's real life in a lot of homes. They've lost a child. There's been a tragedy. And both of them have lost the child, but they both are trying to heal. But they have these wounds, and one needs maybe the memories and the pictures and the things around. The other one wants to move that out of the way, maybe kind of get a fresh start. Maybe seeing it is too painful. And so they're destroying each other. They're both wounded. And that's what happens is things happen in life. There's tragedies that happen. There's things that happen. There's wounds that happen back in our childhood. And they begin to explode from time to time because someone touches on a certain area. We talked about it last week. It says unhealed wounds are like landmines that explode and devastate. Unhealed wounds can come from an unhealed wound from childhood. Maybe there was something that happened in your childhood. Maybe there was, something that happened. Maybe there was some bullying that took place. Maybe there was, something that happened with your family. Maybe there was a tragedy or something that took place, but just some kind of wound that took place. Maybe there was some molestation. We talked about that last week. 1 in 4 women are sexually molested. 1 in 5 boys are sexually molested. Those are the disgusting stats of our nation. Because we live in this sexually, like I said, permeated and just, I mean, it's just over the top here in America. Everything is about sex. That, man, there's people that once they get drunk or they do whatever, they do stupid stuff. And they hurt people and they hurt children. And so an unhealed wound from childhood, maybe something that still surfaces from time to time. And every once in a while, somehow, some way it gets touched or prodded and you explode. Or maybe it's a poor job of parenting. We talked about last week with Jacob and Esau, with his parents. One loved one child more than the other. They were twin boys, but Rebecca, she loved Jacob, and here we see his dad loved Esau. And so there was this contention. Even in the womb, it talks about the contention that was there between the two boys, that there was a battle going on. And here's a mom and a dad who did a poor job of parenting. And so there may be some of you in the room that your parents did a poor job of parenting. And here's the other thing. Maybe some of you did a poor job of parenting, and you're still beating yourself up for that, rather than being willing to ask God to forgive you for the job that you did and be willing to move on. Maybe it's an unhealed relationship wound. Maybe somebody you were dating abandoned you, left you, used you, whatever it might be, but it's some type of relationship wound. Maybe it's somebody in a dating situation. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe you were in a marriage. Maybe you thought, hey, this is who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, and they decided something different and left you just kind of reeling in the pain. A traumatic event like we see in the video there, the movie, where maybe there's a traumatic event, a child has lost his life. And it's affected everybody. It's affected the family. It's affected everybody. And so there's wounds from that. And maybe, there's something that you deal with in that. Maybe there's a loss. And the next one there's a loss. We talked about last week how Esau lost everything, really. He lost his birthright. He lost his father's blessing, which were huge in that day. Now, some of that was to his from his own demise. I mean, him just making poor decisions and impatient decisions and impulsive decisions. And for some of you in this room and for myself as well, we've made decisions that have cost us. And man, we walk around with the pain of that decision. So unhealed wounds affect us, and there's reaction. There's reaction to those things. And we talked about this last week. The heart is critical. You know, in our heart, it's the very center, the core of who we are spiritually. You know, God talks about the heart all through the Scriptures, and we cover a few of those verses here. But the heart is critical. You know, we can have broken bones. We can have a broken mind. There's times whenever we need medicine to maybe help us get some things in order. Maybe even our stomach's not working right. We need to take certain medicines. You know, and so the thing is we have certain things, but the heart is what God says is so critical. And it's not just the heart that is pumping, but the thing is it's the very center of our spiritual being. Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, people judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So God looks on the heart. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Matthew 22:37. We just got through singing some great songs, and the praise team did an incredible job this morning of leading us to the throne of grace in worship. And one of the prayers that we always pray is, God, you know, you tell us in your scripture that you inhabit the praises of your people, that we would be able to worship you today in truth and in spirit. But there's some of you in this room, and oftentimes it's like this, even in a worship environment that has been planned, has been intentionally laid out, to conducively move our hearts towards the heart of God. Some of you will become calloused. And maybe it's because church wounded you. Maybe years ago you got wounded in church. Maybe somebody hurt you. Maybe somebody didn't do what you thought they should have done or whatever, and you became hurt or wounded in church. And so you come to church and you even attend church, but oftentimes the worship really doesn't mean anything to you. And you're only here because your spouse wants you here, your mom wants you here, your dad wants you here. But you're not really here to love on God. Not with all of your heart. Your heart has become calloused, and maybe it's filled with pain, or maybe even the way that you look at God the Father is affected by how you look at your own earthly father. And so you really have a tough time embracing worship. That's why the scripture is so clear. Guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So when we worship, when we sing songs back to God, you know, it ought to be, you know what, God, this is from the heart. I worship you from the heart. With everything that's in me, God, I bring you songs of praise. God, I want to talk about you. I want to sing about you. I want to celebrate who you are and what you've done. Jesus said this. He said, for the hearts of these people are hardened, so their eyes cannot see and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. That's Jesus talking. Here's what I want you to understand. We have a voluntary role in that. We have a part in that to choose to release some things to God, to receive some things from God. And so the thing is, our hearts can become hardened and calloused. You know, I don't know if you ever get a callous, but, you know, I can remember growing up roofing houses. You know, I was always kind of proud of my calluses because, you know, I was always using either a hammer or either a roofing hatchet. And at times I would stick a needle in it just to show somebody, you know, I don't even feel that. Kind of sick, I know, but it didn't hurt, so it's kind of, you know, hey, look at that. And so I'd have these calluses. Well, here's the thing. Some of your hearts get so calloused, kind of like my hand, that things happen and it don't even seem to affect you. And you've got a hardened heart. Maybe it's because of wounds, and maybe just kind of gotten used to things, or, you know, just things don't seem to bother you anymore. So I want us to look today at some things. These are signs of a wounded heart. These are signs of a wounded heart we're going to take a look at. And the first one is the loss of joy. A loss of joy. Like Miss Carol, like I said a while ago, you know, if you ever get around her, you can just see the joy. I mean, she's excited. She's filled. And you heard her talking about it. She has a diagnosis of some type of disease, but she is filled with joy. You ever been around somebody that's filled with joy? It's almost kind of contagious. You want to be around them, and you kind of look for ways to be around them because they're filled with joy. And, I mean, you just kind of feel better whenever you leave them. You go, you know what, man, it was good being around them. And then you got other people who have no joy and who, you know, I mean, you get around them, you see them coming like, oh, my gosh, whew, let me get prepared, you know, whatever. And you're only around them a little while and you're like, all right, man, I'm going to have to slide on out of here. You know, I need to get gone, you know. And so what happens is we have this joy that it can be contagious. But for those of us that have unhealed wounds, we lose our joy. We lose the excitement of our faith in Christ. We lose our excitement. Now, let me just say this. These signs that we're talking about are not for just unbelievers. See, most of you in this room would say that you're a believer, that you're a follower of Christ, but you're walking around with some unhealed wounds. And there's plenty of Christians that I meet that have a loss of joy, or either no joy, no joy. You see people all the time that talk about that they're saved, that they're born again, but there's no joy in their life. I mean, it looks like they've been weaned on pickle juice, you know? I mean, it's like they're sourpusses. They're always kind of negative and always kind of down. You're like, where's the joy? I'll be honest with you. When we were working on the graphic for this series, you know, we had put together kind of like a proof to look at. And there were three or four faces on there. And I responded back to the email to the staff. I said, those people don't look like they know they've been forgiven. You know, for us, we ought to have a look upon our face that, you know what? We are forgiven, and we know that, and we believe that. And so we ought to live with a little bit of joy. But if you've got a wounded heart, and man, you just can't get your mind around the fact that, you know, that you've got to let some things go and that God can heal you, Satan will do everything he can to rob you of the joy. The joy of your salvation gets snuffed out somehow by the things of the evil one. The second one is this. We have a tendency to want to protect ourselves. Protecting of myself. What we do is, we're real protective of ourselves. We don't want anybody to get too close. We kind of live guarded. And so if you've got unhealed wounds, that's a good indicator that you've got unhealed wounds, is being protective and not letting anybody get too close and kind of always kind of living like this with everybody at arm's length, because you've already been hurt and you don't want to be hurt again. You've already been wounded too many times and you're like, man, I just don't even want to get close to anybody. Every time I get close to somebody, they hurt me. Every time I start dating someone, it always ends up messed up, jacked up, whatever, you know, and I just won't even date anybody. I'll just kind of put everybody at arm's length. And so what we do is we have a tendency to protect ourselves, and that's a great indicator that there's probably unhealed wounds. Here's another one, maybe deep emotional response. When you think about a certain time in life, or you think about certain areas of your life, there's a sadness, or maybe an anger, or maybe an anxiety that builds up. Maybe even rage, anger to the point of rage, to where when you think about that, you become furious. And it robs you of your joy because you're focused on this wound that took place back here. Someone hurt me. Someone wounded me. And you can't seem to kind of get past that. And it just kind of wells up within you. And so there, these strong, deep emotional responses is a great indicator that there's an area of your life that has not been healed. You might say, well, Mike, it's okay to have righteous anger towards some things. I totally agree. There are certain things that Jesus, you know, he showed his anger and he had righteous anger towards some things. And that's okay. I think we should have those things. But some of those things that have happened to us, we don't have righteous anger. We have unhealthy anger that leads to sin. Here's the next one, is defensiveness. We have a tendency, if we have unhealed wounds, to be defensive. And that's a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, like if somebody's got a mashed finger and you go to shake their hand, like, whoa, I mean, I've got a mashed finger here, you know, and I really don't want you squeezing my hand. You know, I've got a broke finger or whatever it might be. And so we're a little bit defensive. We don't want anybody to re-injure our wound, do we? You know, and so you're kind of protective of those things. And so what we do is we get defensive. And so if you're one of those people that if someone says, hey, listen, you know, I noticed that maybe this is an area of your life that you seem to have some challenges in. I don't have any challenges. All of a sudden you get real defensive. And man, you're like, they're attacking me. No, they're not attacking. They're trying to help you in maybe an area that you need some help. Because you know how it is. I mean, sometimes people on the outside see some things that we can't see anymore. We become so used to it, we just don't see it anymore. But they see it. And they see that we're struggling with our relationships. They see that we're struggling with our marriage. They see that we're struggling. And it's not that they're trying to, you kind of down us or beat us down, but they're concerned and they love us and they want to see our marriage healthy. And so they're reaching out to us, but we get defensive and, hey, listen, hey, man, don't worry about me. You worry about you. And so that's our tendency. That's a great indicator that we may have some unhealed wounds. Here's another one, easily offended or frustrated. We call it a short temper, don't we? See, I grew up in a home with a dad that had a short temper. And that was just kind of, hey, if you were a Mazingo, you had a short temper. That's kind of the way it was. But in my home, it was modeled. And it was a, if you will, a generational sin that kind of got carried on and carried on. And so whenever I got saved, man, you know what? I still had a short temper. And so I've had to ask God to help me grow in long patience, if you would, or long suffering and patience, if you would. It's one of the things I have to say, God, help me to be patient. Help me to slow down and wait on you. And for some of you in the room, you know, we just say, hey, well, that's the way my dad was, that's the way my mom was. Hey, I'm Italian, I'm whatever. And so we just throw that out there like that's the reason. And we justify our sin because we feel like, hey, well, everybody will understand because that's just the way I'm wired or that's just my nature. But the thing is it's an indicator that there's some unhealed wounds. Easily offended and frustrated. It doesn't take much to set you off. Doesn't take much to, everybody has to walk on eggshells around you. There's some unhealed wounds there. And then here's one that's probably the toughest one, is agreeing with the lies of the evil one. Agreeing with lies. And what happens here is because we have been wounded and the wounds begin to make us think that the lies that Satan is telling us are true. And so we, instead of hearing the truth of God's word, let me just say this, Christians are guilty of this as much as anybody. What we do is we begin to hear from the evil one that, you know what, we're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not pretty enough. No one loves us. No one likes us. I'm just always going to be this way. I'm messed up. I'm broken. I'm needy. You know, and nobody will ever love me. Nobody. And so those are the lies that Satan tells us. And we start looking around at the relationships. And because of the wounds that we've experienced, and because of the relationships that have fallen apart time after time after time, we begin to believe the lies of the evil one. And all of a sudden, we begin to believe that he's right, that nobody does love us. Nobody cares about us. Nobody wants to be involved with us. Nobody wants to be around me. Nobody likes me. And so we begin to believe the lies of the evil one. We think that they're, you know what, we just won't have joy in this life. And so what happens is we begin to buy into that and we believe that pattern or that lie that Satan has told. And the tough thing about that is we begin to believe that as a mom and a dad, and we begin to pass that on to our children. We as believers should be believing the truth of God's word. God says that he loves you with an everlasting love. That he wants to wash you and make you white as snow. That he wants a relationship with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to provide things for you. But yet we begin to listen to the evil one, and all of a sudden we begin to think like that. We think negatively, and we just are constantly spewing negativity, pointing out the wrongs in other people. Don't you love to do that? If you're wounded, don't you always like to point out what's wrong with somebody else? I mean, you're always looking at the negative in someone else. You never see the positives or the joy or the great things that are going in someone else's life. It's what you don't like about them. And why? It's because we always joke about this, but misery loves company. We like to see other people have issues so that we can feel okay about ourselves. That is because of an unhealed wound. So what we do is we tend to pass these things on. We model it for our kids. We hand it off to our kids. Rather than being willing to say, and this is what would be awesome, was for some of us in this room that are adults and teenagers, but for some of us in this room to say, you know what, God, I realized for the first time, I've never healed in some of these areas. And God, I want to get healthy. I want to be healed in that area. And God, I want to be healthy for my kids and for my grandkids. And God, I want to begin a godly legacy, a godly heritage, where I can pass those things on and I can do it in the right way and not continue to carry on the things I learned that were the wrong way. And so, look at this next one here. God wants to heal our wounded hearts. God wants to. And there's a part of us in here, we're going, why didn't God just heal me? It's kind of like, why didn't God just save you? Because he loves you enough that he gives you a choice. He gives you a chance. He gives you an opportunity. God loves you enough that he would pursue you. He would chase after you. He would literally just pursue you with reckless abandon, trying to get to your heart. But you have an opportunity to choose to reject him. You can choose to serve him. You can choose to love him because he loves you. He gives you that choice. Because he's not going to force you to love him. Even like today, God didn't force you to come here. God didn't force you to sing a song. God didn't force you to pour out your heart before him in praise. He gives you the opportunity to do that. And so God gives you that opportunity to worship him in truth and in spirit. But if he's forcing it, is it really love? Do we really, if he has to force us to worship him, if he has to force us to love him, is it really love? And it's kind of like that in relationships. When we say that, if we have to force someone to love us, is it really love? And so God wants to heal our wounded hearts. He really does, but we have to make that choice to come to Him and to surrender. Look at this, what it says here. It says it was part of Jesus' mission. See, when Jesus left heaven to come here, He had a mission. And so Jesus is sitting in the temple here, and he stands up and He reads this passage to the people. And it kind of shocks the whole area. I mean, the whole temple, everybody's like, what? Like, isn't that Joseph and Mary's son over there? But He stands up and He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the wound of the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives." That last statement right there, man, we ought to just go, gosh, that is for me. I mean, Jesus came to heal my broken heart. Jesus came to set me free from this garbage that is weighing me down. Jesus came to set me free from this unhealed wound that continues to wreck every relationship that I'm in. And so whenever we can kind of get our mind right, that's what Jesus came for. That's what the cross is about. It's Jesus was coming to literally pay for that and to set us free. But we have to be willing to receive that. Look at what David says here in Psalms 147:3. David says in Psalms, he says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." He's talking about Jesus. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. In Jeremiah here, in Jeremiah says, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me and I will be saved." Now the tough thing is we've got to be willing to, number one, come to Him. We've got to be willing to let some things go. We've got to be willing to lay some things down. Instead of just kind of maintaining status quo, kind of going through the motions and kind of acting like we've got everything together. The best thing in the world sometimes is to say, you know what, God, I'm broken. I'm needy. You know, just for a few weeks ago, I was on a sabbatical for 2 months. And going into that sabbatical, you know, I was trying to wait and get a few things done and kind of maybe go at a more opportune time, if you would, for the church. So I was trying to think about the church. But one of the things I realized as I was getting close to that need for the sabbatical was that, man, I just realized, you know, man, I've got some wounds, some unhealed wounds. So I'm just being transparent with you. I had unhealed wounds. And I shared this with the elders. And one of the things I realized, you know, is some of those were relationship wounds where, you know, where something had happened. Whether it be a staff issue or something like that, where a staff person had to be let go or had whatever it might have been, but had not done their job or whatever it might have been. And just so wounds, literally wounds that are kind of like a paper cut. You know, you think, well, you know, you don't go to the hospital for a paper cut, but if you have enough paper cuts, you're bleeding. If you have enough paper cuts to get infected, you've got wounds. And so just those wounds, and Laurie and I were talking about this one night. She'd gone to the grocery store and she bumped into somebody that was at the grocery store, and she said, she goes, "You know, hey, I saw such and such." She goes, "I haven't seen them at church in a while. What's going on there?" I said, "Well," I said, "they got upset because their kid didn't get to go to a certain event that was not for their kid, and so they got mad and they left the church." And you could tell for Laurie it was like a big paper cut. She's going, "You know, I'm just tired of people just leaving. She said, "For no reasons, really, other than they get their feelings hurt, or they don't get what they want, and then they want to leave, but yet they claim they're part of the church family." And I was like, "You know what? I hear you." And so I'm trying to comfort her, but as I'm comforting her, I'm going, "You know what? I feel that pain." And so what happens is those wounds kind of build up, and it's kind of an unconscious thing. You don't realize that it's happened, but I was sharing with someone before the service, right before I got to that sabbatical, man, I was just so tired. And just literally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally tired. Didn't have a whole lot in the tank, to be honest with you. Putting together a message was a challenge. And here's what I want you to understand. If you look back at some of these signs of a wounded heart, man, I had a loss of joy. Man, I love Journey Church. And let me tell you, I want to be here and I want to be a part of what God is doing here. But I had got to a point where I was just kind of struggling at times going, "Man, I've got to do another message." Sunday comes every Sunday. I don't know if y'all realize that. And everybody wants it to be good. I want it to be good. I want it to be the best that I can bring. I want to honor God with what I bring. And it was just like I was running on empty. And so there was a loss of joy. there was times I would protect myself. You know, I was like, no, I'm good. And people were like, Mike, you okay? No, I'm good. I'm good. Deep emotional response. I would look back on things and just feel sad. Sad for what had happened. Sad because, you know, just people being blind to things and not seeing things. Defensiveness. Getting defensive of, hey, why things happen. Easily offended or frustrated. Getting frustrated with things. Agreeing with the lies. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. You're not the right leader. All those things are what Satan throws at us, right? So I'm just being transparent with you guys. I've been there, felt that. And so in that time of sabbatical, the first week, really all I did was try to get rest. Just to rest. Because I was weary in a lot of ways, spiritually, relationally, emotionally. You could just go on and on. I was weary. And so taking that time to rest, and here's the other thing I had to say, God, you know, show me where I'm wounded. And so I want us to look at this next part here, allowing God to heal us. Knowing we have to name it. If we're going to allow God to heal us, we have to be willing, number one, to name it. We have to see it for what it is. And so here's a prayer that I think we ought to pray on a regular basis. And for me, this is what I had to pray. You know, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That ought to really be a daily prayer, shouldn't it? Like a daily prayer. You know, Lord, search my heart. Reveal in me anything that is keeping me from being what I need to be. The husband I need to be. The dad I need to be. The wife I need to be. The mom I need to be. The daughter I need to be. The son I need to be. Whatever it might be. The leader I need to be. The pastor I need to be. God, search my heart. Ask me, God, or show me. God, reveal my heart. Here's what's funny is we don't even know our heart. We need the Holy Spirit to search us. And here's the thing. Our heart can be corrupt. And if the heart is corrupt, it goes back to what we said earlier. It affects everything. Every relationship, your worship, especially your relationship with God. Because if this relationship is not right, these never will be. If you're sitting here today and you think, well, man, I'm good with everybody, but I'm not good with God. No, you're not. Because this relationship will always affect all of these. And so we've got to be willing to name that sin or name that pain or name that wound, whatever it might be. We've got to be willing to name it. A great picture of that is like, you know, so many of these guys who go over into the Middle East, and one of the things they have to worry about is roadside bombs because they blow up whenever they don't expect it. And so it kind of like the landmines in our life, they kind of go off when we don't expect it. But the thing is if we are able to see it, in other words, if they're able to see it, there's a chance they might be able to disarm it. I don't know if y'all heard, but I saw this morning even in the news that there was possibly a bomb that went off in New York City. They found a pressure cooker there close by. They were showing pictures of it. Someone had to what? They had to disarm that device. People were hurt. They were showing people with shrapnel and stuff in them. So here's the thing. A bomb went off somewhere, but nobody saw it. Nobody didn't know about it. But they found the other one. They were able to see it, and now they're able to disarm it and begin to deal with it. And so here's the thing in our lives. What we do is we have these wounds, these pains, these unhealed wounds, and we don't know they're there. Kind of subconsciously, they kind of maybe built up like mine had, like multiple paper cuts. All of a sudden, we realize, you know what, man, I'm bleeding. And so what we've got to be willing to do is say, God, help me to see that. Holy Spirit, search my heart and show me. Is it something from my childhood that's affecting my marriage? Is it something from my teenage years that's affecting my family? God, you know, what's going on? This morning I got a text from a close friend. Said, hey, if you would be praying for me and my husband, we're getting a divorce. You probably know why. And I'm thinking, no, I don't know why. She goes, can I call you this week to talk? And I'm like, yeah. And so I'll be praying for them. I don't know what's going on, but here's the thing is, there's a wound there somewhere. There's a wound there somewhere. And so what we've got to be willing to do is we've got to be willing to name it. The second thing, we have to be willing to own it. We've got to be willing to own it. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. And so we've got to be willing to own our mistakes. Too often we want to blame everybody else. We want to blame somebody. It's always somebody else's fault. If you even heard in the video, which was a powerful video, you know, she's like, oh, so it's my fault now. Or, oh, it's my fault now. And And what we want to do is we want it to be somebody else's fault. We don't want it to be us. We want it to be their fault. Hey, if you would only be a better wife, I'd be a better husband. If you would only be a better dad or whatever, I'd be a better mom. You know, and we want it to be on somebody else. But here's the thing, in reality, we've got to own what is ours. We've got to be willing to take ownership and say, you know what, God, I have struggled in this area. God, I have been toting this wound around for too long. And God, I want to be healed. I want to be made whole. God, I want to change. I don't want to carry this on. I want to pass it on like it's been passed on to me. I don't want to continue to carry on this generational sin that has been carried on for years and years. God, I want to be different. I want to be the bondage breaker. I want to be the one that begins to bless my family and lead my family in a way that honors you. God, I'm tired of the way I've been living. And so we've got to be willing to own that and say, you know what? Begin with me, God. Let it be with me. And one of the best ways, like I said, is God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. When we're humble enough to say, you know what? I am broken. I don't have it all together. I need help. That's when we begin to begin the healing process. See, what happens too often is pride and ego tells us don't let anybody know that you're hurting, especially us men. I mean, what man wants to let everybody know that, man, I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I'm wounded? It's kind of, hey, cowboy up, let's get going. Hey, you know, I got this, we're good. And so we have that tendency to, hey, let's act like everything's okay, and it's not. Our marriages are falling apart, but we want everybody to make, you know, it look like it is. Look like everything's good. And so God opposes the proud, so we've got to be humble enough to say, you know what, I need help. And what Satan says is, listen, if you tell everybody, they're going to think the worst of you. That's like sometimes, I guarantee you there's times that God puts it on your heart to come, bring your wife down to the altar and pray, or to bring your kids down to the altar and pray. But instead of going down, you're going, if I go down, everybody's going to think something's wrong with us. There is a sin in your life. And so what happens is Satan will tell you, hey, listen, don't do that. Everybody's going to think terrible of you. And they're going to know that you got problems then. Then it's going to be out. Everybody will know. Because Satan believes if he can keep you in your secrets, he'll keep you captive. But Jesus came to set you free. But if he can keep you caught in your secrets, in your struggles, and your pain, he keeps you from being all that God wants you to be. This last one, we'll kind of dive into it next week more than we will today. But just release it and redeem it. Release it and redeem it. We'll dive into that in detail next week. But look at this next statement. It says, the cross of Christ reveals just how much God wants to heal and forgive. When you look at this cross over here, it's an old, rugged-looking cross. But when I look at that cross, I think about the fact that my Savior, that Jesus from heaven knew what he would be doing. But he was willing to leave heaven to come here so that we might be healed. If we go back and we read his mission statement again, if we read his mission statement, it was he would come to heal, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to set the captives free. But he knew that it would be through the cross that would take place. And for some of us, we missed that is what he was about. He knew that he would have to go to the cross. He knew that he would have to bleed out in order for your sins and my sins to be paid for. Look at these great passages here. Most of us have heard these before. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, that doesn't mean hide. See, Satan wants you to hide. Satan doesn't want you confessing anything. He wants you to hide. He wants you to guard your ego. He wants you to, you know, walk around in pride. But Jesus says, if we confess our sins, if we come boldly before him and say, God, I have sinned, I have messed up, I have blown. If we confess that we're messed up, that we're broken, that we're wounded, he says that he'll change things. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Look at this one. Repent. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Some of you guys need to be refreshed. But you know what? You need to repent. It's not that you keep playing the game with God, that you, God, I confess to you that I'm sinning in this area, and I know you know about it, and so God, I'm confessing it to you, and then you go out and you sin again, and then you say, God, I'm confessing to you that I'm sinning in this area, and you go out and you sin again that same area. That's not repentance. That's just playing a game with God. Hey, God, I'm kind of leaning on your grace over here. And God, I know that you're a God of grace, and he is a God of grace. But he also calls us to repentance. The scripture is clear that we are to turn from that sin and turn to him. Not that we continue to live in it, continue to live in it, continue to live in it, and say, well, God has forgiven me. God forgives you if you confess it and repent and turn from it. But if you continue to wallow in a sin, you're still in a sin. And it's still affecting every relationship, especially this one. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Let me tell you, when I look around at people, here in our church, I see people that need refreshing. They need a refreshing time with God. Look at this next passage. It says, come, now let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, though they shall be as white as snow, though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Isaiah. And so whenever I think about the cross, this one's nice and clean in some ways. There's no blood on it. But when I think about the cross of Christ, I think about the fact that his hands were pierced for my transgressions. He was nailed to the cross for my sin, for my wounds, because he came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to save me. He came to save you. So the thing is whenever I look at this cross, I don't see the blood stains on it. But I think back to what it would have looked like as they drove the spikes through his hands and through his feet, that his blood was being poured out. And then later they would come and they would run a spear in his side, and it says that the blood and the water would pour forth. And literally that his blood would be shed for my sins and for my wounds. If he came to go to the cross, if he knew that that was his destiny to go to the cross, then he knew that it would be what it would take to heal up the brokenhearted. And so for some of us, man, we're good on the saved part. We say, God, I believe that you can save me, but God, I don't know if you can heal me. Yes, he can. God can heal. And it begins with us surrendering to a process. Even if we look back, if we name it, if we own it, if we release it and redeem it, that's a process that we submit to and we surrender to. So what happens too often, though, is we just get to the point of where we just think, well, you know, God can do it if he wants to. No, God wants you to have a part in it. So I want to just ask everyone just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to pray this just in your heart of hearts. And just, I'm going to read it. But let this be your prayer right now. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let me read it again. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, God. God, are there any wounds that have gone unhealed? God, are there any wounds that I need to allow you to heal today? I want to give you an opportunity just to come to the altar. As the music plays, as the Holy Spirit leads, you can come and pray here at this altar. Don't worry about who's going and who's not going. But has God got something he wants to heal in you? Come. Lay it down. Let him heal you. Begin that process of healing. Confess whatever it might be. Repent of whatever it might be. Let him heal you. There's nobody in this room that is immune. Every heart in this room has been wounded, will be wounded, and will be in need of healing. Don't let pride tell you you don't need to go. Don't let anything keep you from going for what God has for you. He has a time of refreshing for you. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. We're not in a hurry. God's dealing with you as He's stirring in your heart. Just trust Him and respond. Bowing your eyes closed. Let me ask you this. Maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ. You've never accepted Christ into your life. You've never put your faith in who He is. Well, maybe today that is your greatest need, is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So maybe today, for the first time, you choose by faith to put your faith in Christ, to trust Him with all of your heart, to literally allow Him to heal you of your greatest need. So if that is your need here today and you want to give your life to Christ, you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I just want to lead you through a quick prayer. If this is your need, just to be saved by the Savior of the world, and just in your heart of hearts, repeat after me. Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that You left heaven to come heal my broken heart. I believe that You left heaven to come save me. I believe that You came to set the captives free. I believe that You want me to experience full freedom. I believe that You went to the cross and You bled out, and You poured out Your precious blood for my sins, for my mistakes, for my failures. And I believe that You can wash me clean and make me whole. Jesus, I give You everything that I've got, myself. I give You my heart. I give You my life. I give You everything. So with all the faith that I have, Jesus, I ask You to come into my life and to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to change me from this point forward. Father, thank You for meeting with us today. Thank You for loving us. God, thank You for healing us. God, thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to the cross to die on that old rugged cross that we might live, that we might be healed, that we might be made whole, that we might have times of refreshing. God, that we might have eternal life. God, we just thank You for all these gifts that are provided because You're such a loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, how powerful is the Holy Spirit whenever He begins to tug and stir in our hearts. Amen. He wants to bring healing. And I hope you guys hear that. God wants to heal you. Today is not a day just to open up wounds. Let's begin a healing process. In just a few minutes, we're going to take up our offering. So if you guys would, the ushers, go ahead and come to the front. We'll ask God to bless our gifts back to Him. These gifts are come as an overflow. When we realize all that we have been forgiven, we realize how good God has been to us. And when it comes to giving, it's one of those things that it's not difficult. But it becomes a joy. It becomes something that is special. For those of us that from much has been forgiven, there comes great joy and celebration. You know, I think back to the woman who literally pours out this perfume over the feet of Jesus. And the guys were a little bit upset because they were thinking about how much it was. It was like a year's wages that had been broken and poured out over his feet. And Jesus kind of set them straight. He said, you got to understand. He said, she's choosing the right thing. She's doing the right thing here. Where, you know, and he's saying, hey, listen, where there's been great sin, there's great grace. And so out of her abundance of joy of what she had been forgiven, she gave abundantly to the kingdom and to the Lord to honor him. All these years later, thousands of years later, we still talk about what she poured over the feet of her Savior. It's how grateful she was for all that he had done. Let's pray.